Welcome into After Hours, Thursday evening. Dusty Likens with you, Quentin with you as well. Top text. Rob gets married and then fill in kicks Vern off the air. It was an abrupt end to the post-game show, but that's okay. That's all right. Vern's, it's a midday game for Vern. Now Vern gets to sit on the patio, and it's like a role reverser. At least that's in my imagination, that instead of me sitting on my patio at 11:30 at night, now Vern gets to sit on his patio at 6:30 in the afternoon in the smoldering heat with a refreshment listening to me. Vern's just fine. It just was a programming thing. It's all good, though. Everything's happy. We're still on air. You got your commercials. You know how Vern signs off. I'll talk to you tomorrow night. Royals win today in Oakland. They do not get swept. They've yet to be swept this year. I know a lot of you that listen to this program are about to roll your eyes with the positivity that I always try to bring into this show. But first things first, Quentin. Today's officially the first day of summer. Today is the longest day of the year. So when somebody comes up to you or texts you, man, this feels like the longest day of my life, quite possibly could be. I love this time of year. I'm in full summer spirit. I think it's interesting that it feels like summer started maybe a week ago, but today, the official first day of summer, longest day of the year. I believe they call that the summer solstice.
There you go, and you're all-knowing wise wisdom.
It makes me feel a certain kind of way to know that it's official.
It's definitely, we've definitely popped off into seltzer season, you know?
Sitting on the patio with no shirt on, right? I don't know if I want to spray my whole chest down with mosquito repellent spray. But I would if it was that hot. But normally when I get home, it's not that hot. It's going to be interesting tonight because it's going to look like this when I drive home. Obviously a bit dramatic. Somebody says not getting swept at all is a huge improvement. Always take the positives. I will give you the positives. I'm not here to, I'm not here to, be a bias fan, but I'm here to, spread positivity. Lots of Royal stuff. Jay Binkley at 7:15. Believe it or not, we're almost a month away from Chiefs training camp, which you got to talk about it. But as we start the longest day of summer and the official first day of summer, which is ironic, I'm like that guy that, your neighbor that puts up the Christmas tree November 1st. I'm like that with summer. I've got all my coolers out in the garage ready to go to this one's for this kind of a party. This one's for this kind of a swim party. This is for this sort of thing. There's different layers of the fridge. I promise you, man, I'm that guy. I'll play golf in 99 degree weather at noon. I don't care. This is my season. Dusty Likens, Quentin with you as well. On After Hours tonight, I do want to start things off, though, but let's talk about the game today first, and then we can kind of dive into what we want to move forward with when you take the microscope out a bit. Today was a game in which I think there are more positives than maybe you can see. Yeah, you didn't really take care of business like we talked about Wednesday night. What you want to do in Oakland, take 2 out of 3, right? But let's be fair, okay? Let's be fair. Today's game was something that you like to see, right? Your bullpen was tested late. Two on, up by one, pitching change. Every other batter, Kotze is subbing out and putting somebody else in. And you held your ground, 3-2. Your all-star, one of your all-stars and your best player on your roster, put the team on his back, hit the go-ahead home run, which, in my mind, judging by the reactions I can see on Twitter and listening to Vern's show, good for Bobby Wood Jr. He's now made a lot of people feel numb when he does things like this.
He's 0 for 3 today. Strikeout and a couple of ground out. Here's the pitch. Slider hit high in the air, deep to left field, and Duhar turns around. That's way out of here. Bobby Witt Jr. gives the Royals the lead right back. It It's 3-2 in the top of the eighth inning. That was a blast to the seats in straightaway left. 422 feet.
422 feet from your boy. And Bobby Wood Jr., that's a takeaway, right? That's one of the minor takeaways that when you look at a series that maybe you're frowning upon because you went 1-3 versus the, you know, lame duck Oakland Athletics, you went 1-3. But again, your superstar and a moment where you had just lost the lead, it was tied. Your second in command, or maybe listening to Vern's show today, your first in command, Seth Lugo, kept you in contention the whole game and made two simple mistakes. Gave up a double, gave up a home run, game tied. But then within a blink of an eye, as you hear the audio there from 610 Sports Radio and Jake Eisenberg, who was on the call today in Oakland, your superstar came up with, hey, 2-2, nothing in the world. I still got a chance to put the bat in my hand and see what I can do with it. Because if we're going to crush Bobby at times when we have earlier, and I mean crush in a sarcastic way, because I've talked to people where there were back-to-back games, I believe, Bobby had a chance to tie it or take the lead, struck out, or fly it out. And people are like, well, we had our superstar up. Dude. If you're going to do that, guy who likes to be negative sometimes, Bobby Wood Jr. hit the go-ahead home run today that eventually won the game 3-2. So there's that. We move on to Seth Lugo, right? You look at what Lugo did today. The other half of your 1-2 punch, which if Cody and Gold want to steal an idea, you're more than welcome to with your next shirt. You could have a 1-2 punch shirt with two ice cubes in the cocktail jar or the punch bowl. And it's just ice cubes of Cole Reagan's face and Seth Lugo's face, and it's called the 1-2 punch. Pretty good. Pretty good. The 1-2 punch, Seth Lugo, Cole Reagan's, or Reagan's and Lugo. And Lugo did exactly what you want to do. Give this team a chance. Two runs is great. The other part about this victory that was nice, and to see it, is you don't allow it to become a three-game losing streak. You've still not been swept this entire year. Think about that. You've not been swept this entire year. And then you have your surprise guy today. And every once in a while on this journey, you got to have a guy like this step up and do things like this.
Benz delivers. Vermeen clocks it down the left field line toward the fence, and it's out of here. Freddie Vermeen does it again. His second home run of the game. It puts the Royals up 2-0 in the top of the fourth inning.
And sometimes you need that guy that's not Sal Perez or Bobby Witt Jr. or Michael Garcia, who had the off day today. Sometimes somebody's got to step up on these contended playoff runs that the Royals still are in the hunt. And sometimes you need another guy to do that. And Freddie Vermeen said, let me show you something. Not once, but twice. And then got a base hit. Three hits today, two of which were home runs, two of which were two RBI. And then Bobby Wood Jr., your superstar, hits the go-ahead game, eventually the game-winning home run for the Kansas City Royals in the eighth. So, yeah, you can look at the series like we talked on Wednesday night for an hour and a half where I said, got to go to Oakland, take care of business, win 2 out of 3. But the big picture of this chill week, or this much calmer week that you had the week prior, where it was Yankees, Mariners, Dodgers, Cleveland, all that sort of stuff. Today you took care of business in a game that you avoided a sweep. You avoided letting Minnesota not get damaged. We talk more about Minnesota. We talk more about Cleveland, and I'll get to the text line, 913-586-7610. When we get back, you're listening after hours. It's Quentin. I'm Dusty Likens. This is 610 Sports Radio. There you go, Quentin. I've ruined you forever with Bruce Springsteen. Forever. Dusty, your Royals cruise ship narrowly missed hitting that big iceberg in the Bay of Oakland, still powering through the waves forward. Yeah, that's right. That's right, man. Good evening. Crown Jewel took your advice on a parlay on Tuesday. Liked it. Lost it. Yep.
That's why they call it gambling.
Yep. Wednesday, didn't have a parlay. Wait, yeah, we did. Wednesday, we did. Tuesday, Wednesday. No, we did not have a Wednesday. We did not have a parlay Wednesday. I was off work Wednesday. So that's a lie. So whatever you lost on Wednesday, don't blame on me. Tripled up on something today. Lost it. I didn't make any sort of bets or parlays today. Maybe you better stick to golf instead of parlays. Have a great night, Casey Hunk. Yeah, I only gave you one parlay Tuesday. You can't blame me for Wednesday or Thursday. And yeah, the Tuesday night parlay was bad. I didn't think the Royals were going to get 7-5 in Oakland. Another one. Your Royals cargo ship saved itself by remembering to put the drain plug on the boat ramp. I'll tell you what, man, that thing's still powering through if you ask me. And I'm glad you guys brought that up. Because today, as of 6:34 KC time, the Royals sit at 42-38. They have regained the second spot in the division, and they have regained the second wild card spot in the American League. Minnesota dropped their game today. Cleveland, of course, won. And as you heard probably on the Royals postgame show, they're now 20 games over 500. But I know they didn't handle the business like we had envisioned them to do in Oakland. Your Kansas City Royals go 1-3 in the series, or 1-2, I'm sorry, in the series. But they're still on par to go 5-4, which was the end-all, be-all goal. 6-3 was the wish to go on this little 9-game stretch where you play 3 in Oakland, you'll play 3 in Texas, and then play 3 against Miami, and then it's the 4-game series we're all waiting for. Cleveland in the house that George Brett built, or the Kauffmans. And the one that's now going to be probably somewhere else. Either way. But again, 5-4 is still on the table. And then I think realistically, because again, I'm trying to be positive for a lot of you out there. They're like, man, losing 2 in a row to Oakland, that's terrible. Didn't lose 3 in a row, didn't get swept. And somehow you jumped or leapfrogged, as much as you want to say, it's still a jump over Minnesota today. Cleveland again is where you want to get after it. And you'll get a chance. But you're still on pace for what the ultimate goal was during these 9 games, and that was to go 5-4. You might roll your eyes, but Dustin, we're better than that. Well, maybe. But 5-4 with 6 of those games on the road ain't bad. You can still go take 2 out of 3 in Arlington or wherever they play, somewhere in Texas. And then you can take 2 out of 3 or 2 out of 3 versus Texas and take 2 out of 3 versus Miami, which is still very capable. Texas definitely having a down year after winning the entire championship or the World Series in the previous year. But you could still take 2 out of 3, which then you'd go 3-3 on the road, which, what do we always say? Go 500 on the road and average out 2 out of 3 at home. That's how you become a 90-plus win team, and you get to play potential baseball in the playoffs. And then you can take 2 out of 3 versus Miami. I don't think that's a hard ask to go after. Miami's not great. They're going to be a fire sale, right? They can't even dump ice on the right people on their team. They had to dump that poor lady reporter, Jazz Chisholm. Jerk.
That wasn't a pour. That was a water cannon. He chucked that thing.
What a jerk.
That water came off at her. So, and she was very nice about it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know what you would do in that situation. I mean, I felt sorry for her watching that video by one Jazz Chisholm.
She got nailed by the water and the ice. We can't forget about all the ice that's in there. That had to have hurt.
You'd have thought she hit the game-winning hit.
That's exactly what she said.
Literally. And you can still go 5-4, which is the argument of this conversation, which is regain and continue to move forward. That's why I love you texters. It's some of you might be a little bit of a troll. Somebody, you know, it's fine. But I love the Cruz. I love the Cruz narrative. We're going to use it all summer long. Sorry you didn't think of it. If that's why you hate it, But that's fine. As 42 and 34, not 38, I just hit the wrong button on the keyboard. You're still doing what you want to do in the season, right? You're still being that team. And Cleveland series will be here soon enough. That four-game series that, again, will feel playoff-esque. You'll get through this little boring stretch of Miami and Texas and Oakland and, yeah. I'm just glad we don't have to worry about West Coast games for a while. Cleveland will be here soon enough. The big four-game series will happen for all of us. And we'll all get to be back in that feeling, right? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then we can all cross our fingers and hope, what happens if they take three out of four? Well, then we're really partying on that cruise ship. But expectations, to me, are still 5-4. Hold serve. And stay close enough to Cleveland. And then when you get the opportunity, which you will with that four-game series, you have to attack. And if you can do that, right, you can win three out of four in that series, or at least split it 500. Eventually, you're going to have to take something from them. But if you can hold serve, stay above 500, and then when they come into your house, you play your style of baseball against a team that you're hungry to beat. That's what you have to do, because the expectations, yes, 1-3 or 1-2 in Oakland. Yes, some of you probably got a little seasick on the Royal Cruise. That's fine. That's going to happen on these journeys. It's not always going to be like Patrick Mahomes once said, rainbows and butterflies. Sometimes you're going to have these things happen where it's like you scratch your head. And you're like, how'd they lose that game? How'd they allow this team that just lost 9 straight beat our team 2 straight? Baseball is a long season. Continuing to win in all facets of the game, going whether it's 5-4 or not getting swept or going, you know, 6-7, or not 6-7, but 7-6 in a stretch of games, that's important because you're still winning. Now, eventually, there is going to be the time where you've got to, you know, show up to the table and come away the winner. That happens when you play 4 against Cleveland in your own town. But again, I know they didn't maybe handle the business like we had hoped for, right? Not all your sports takes always hit. Not all of your parlays always hit, Casey Hunk. But again, you stayed in contention with Cleveland. You leapfrogged Minnesota, and you're still at a, you know, 75% chance to play baseball in the playoffs this season, which is still a higher expectation, to be fair, than any of us all had at the beginning of the season. Because all we wanted to see at the beginning of the season was, okay, all these signings that they made, all these sort of things that they went out and did, are they going to pay off? Will this team be competitive? We could talk about the stadium, but I don't want to bore you with that. You'll hear all day radio tomorrow about, oh, how great that picture looked. Look, they put a crown up. You can hit a home run in one state and it can land in another one. You can hear all of that starting at 6 o'clock in the morning on Bob Fesco and Josh Klingler's show that they call Fesco in the Morning. Probably hear more of it from 10 to 2. Oh, Dusty, I want to hear it. No, you don't. You want to hear about these Royals. You want to hear Jay Binkley at 7:15. I'm going to give you all of that. But on the other side, I thought Vern proposed a nice question tonight. Quentin and I will discuss which one we're taking, and we really need to get these shirts made because I got a really good feeling it could hit really good with the Kansas City community. Coming up on the other side, your 1-2 punch conversation comes to fruition next here on After Hours on 610 Sports Radio. You got to give people flowers when they deserve them. The MLB deserves their flowers tonight because MLB at Rickwood, just from what I'm able to watch, because I'm doing a show right now, so I can't really, like, dial in the whole thing. But from what they've shown, they're nailing it. They had Bonds and Griffey remembering Willie Mays. And you know that Bonds and Willie Mays are connected. I think Bonds is his, I think that's his godfather. I'm almost positive. And obviously Bonds is a conglomerate of a baseball player in my mind. I mean, the way that MLB was using him, letting him up there and talk and be free and be Barry, Ken Griffey Jr., Derek Jeter, Alex Rodriguez. It's just been a good, it's been a well thought out, great program that MLB has done from what I've seen on Twitter and Instagram and all that other sort of stuff. No, Casey Hunk, I didn't think that you were trolling me. I was just letting you know I only gave one parlay and it was Tuesday. So if your wallet's a little, you know, thin because of betting, that ain't on me, man. The only thing I had was Tuesday. 816. I love when I pop on 610 and my favorite guy, Legend Likens, is on the mic. Well, thanks for listening. I appreciate that. I thought Vern's question that he had asked about who would you rather have in a big game or playoff game one, Cole Reagans or Seth Lugo? It's a good question. But what a damn great question to have. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we want. You know? You want that 1-2 punch. And like I said, if Cody and Gold want to steal it, or you guys on the text line that tend to listen to this show and other shows, you can send the text in, and we can see how far our words travel into sports radio talk and local area tomorrow. Because they do great jobs with shirts, right? I bought a few. I've got the Independence Avenue Bridge undefeated since whenever it was built. I've got the Karma is the one on the Chiefs or place or whatever. I've got an actual Cody and Gold shirt, but if you think about it, your 1-2 punch, a punch bowl with ice cubes, but the ice cubes are Reagan's and Lugo's face. I mean, hell, the next thing you know, I'm going to record a song and it's going to be a hit. Just kidding, won't do that. But I think that's interesting. And Quentin was doing the post-game show on the Royals production today and got to listen to the callers. But the reason why this team is on pace for 89 wins and the reason why this team is 14 wins shy of matching their total win number of last year, 14 wins, and they will tie that game or that season total of last year. And the reason why they're going to do that in such dramatic fashion is because their pitching rotation has been fantastic. And it starts with your 1-2 punch. And I think the text line can be open to this as well, because I don't know how many people were listening or is tuned in. But it does bring up a question. 913-586-7610. Would you rather have Reagans or Lugo in a must-win or go-home game in October? Quentin, I'll let you go first. And I'll let you tell me who you'd like to have and why. And we can read text messages as well as we do this end-of-the-hour topic that always seemed to be fun. Reagans, Lugo, you're playing Seattle game. Only one game. You win, you go on. You lose, you're out. Who's your guy?
I'm going Cole Reagans. I'm going Cole Reagans for a couple of reasons. Now, I don't want to, you know, dive deep into Baseball Savant and Baseball Reference because I think a lot of people hate that. But here's the thing. He has one of the best fastballs in all of baseball, despite it not coming out of his hand at 100 plus miles an hour. He has one of the best fastballs in baseball. He has one of the highest whiff rates and a great strikeout rate with his fastball. And there's a reason why when they started the season, they gave the ball to Cole Reagans as the ace in game one for the year, right? There's a reason why. They could have given it to Lugo, right? But he won that spot despite what the Royals have done in the entire time I've known the Royals, where in the past they would have just given it to Lugo because he's the veteran and all of that. Instead, they gave it to Reagans, and I think you should do that continuing to go forward because he has the stuff to do it.
Yeah. And again, I don't think there's a wrong answer here. I don't think that if you say one name or the other, that you're necessarily, you know, on the wrong side of the conversation. And I do think that Cole Reagans has a future of an award that is titled the Cy Young. But I heard something interesting today as to why I would choose Lugo. And they brought up Mark Kotze's conversation with one of the announcers, whether I think it was either Sweeney or it was, I think it was LeFevre. And LeFevre was talking to Kotze and he was like, what do you tell your team when they face a guy who has eight pitches? And Kotze was like, let him throw you two and then hope that you recognize one of them the next time you see it. And I think that the way that Lugo has performed this year, right? The reason that he looks like he could be a guy where it's the game, it's this, it's whatever. He can kind of be that sort of mysterious starter where, like, if he's on like he was today, right? He gave up two runs late in the game, but he gave up two runs with the entire one. And I like Lugo going into a game one because this is why, Quentin, and this is the only reason it's maybe unfair to you. If Lugo goes that game, you then have your dynamite ace or the guy that you believe in to go the very next night if you do solely believe in that. Now, again, that goes against all baseball sort of rhythmatic, systematic, whatever-matic there is. Because if you have a one-game win-all-or-go-home, you throw your ace out there. And knowing that you have that 1-2 punch with Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo, then you're okay throwing Lugo out that next night or in a few days as they go on to the next round of the playoffs. But if you go Lugo first and you trust that he can win you that game, not that it's a shot at Cole Reagans, then it's like, okay, well, if I want my ace to go when we get the best of five, I'm going to throw Reagans out there. I have a day off. I can then go Singer and go back to Lugo.
I think you're right with there's not really a wrong spot here. I think Lugo has been phenomenal. I think he has overexceeded expectations from everybody, from the Royals, from the Royals front office to all of baseball, because there's a reason why he ended up in Kansas City, and it's not because he was the Royals offered him a huge contract. It's because he was never a career starter. The Royals saw something in him that nobody else in baseball did, and they offered him a starting job, and he has performed phenomenally. He has some of the lowest walk numbers in baseball. Mm-hmm. When you're on his Baseball Savant page and you have to scroll to look at his pitch distribution, you know that he has all kinds of stuff. I mean, he has to have extra buttons on his pitch comm because he has so many pitches. He has been phenomenal, and he plays so well with this team because of phenomenal defense that the Royals are playing, right? He truly is a ground ball pitcher, and sometimes we hear that, and when people say that, it's just because they can't strike anybody out, so that's all that's what you just call them, like guys that are late in their career, and you just call them, oh, they're their fly-out pitcher. No, he's just not good.
Right.
But Lugo is not that guy. He really is extremely good at moving his pitches, changing his pitches. He'll throw a pitch in the sixth inning that he hasn't thrown all game long. So I've got no beef with Lugo. I think Lugo has been phenomenal, and there truly is no wrong option here. I just think that Lugo doesn't have a ton of playoff experience, right? So to me, that's a wash for both of them. If he was like when James Shields was brought in 2014, right? And 13. He was truly the veteran. Mm. And because he had a ton of experience over the rest of the young guys that were in Kansas City at the time, I think you could definitely get me to more be on the Lugo side. But yeah, I just think with Cole Reagans being the guy that you stuck with and the fact that he really has held up his end of the bargain, I still think that you go with Reagans.
It's good points. My 1-2 punch is an old-fashioned and a Weller cigar, beat of the voice. Welcome to the show, Danny. Welcome right in to this sexual sound. I'm just kidding. I don't know why I'm trying to do the beat up voice. I like to do it every once in a while. I'll walk down the hall and somebody be like, is he back? I'll scare the hell out of somebody. Dana Wright comes around the corner. Where you going, shorty? Huh? It's a good problem to have. And if you look at it and you think about successful teams that go to playoffs and have a chance late in seasons to do so, they have most definitely, most always, a 1-2 punch, right? The Yankees are going to hope that Gerrit Cole can stay healthy all season, and they're going to go with Cole and Rodon. And you look at Seattle, you know their pitching staff. You look at, other pitching staffs outside of the norm, right? Yankees, Dodgers, they can just go four guys and be like, good luck. Four of them are aces. But the 1-2 punch is the reason why this team is 14 games away, 14 wins away from tying their season total last year. The 1-2 punch is why this team is on pace to win 89 to 90 games. And the 1-2 punch is why this team is playing competitive baseball and why we keep riding this Royal Caribbean cruise all damn summer long. It's fun. It's great. Enjoy it. Relish in the moment. Because how many times do you watch a Royals game? You're like, who do we got on the mound tonight? Lugo, oh, we got a chance. We got a real good chance. And yeah, it wasn't Reagan's night last night. And he's had some issues on the road. So we'll see. Lugo away is 3-2. And home 7-0. ERA over 3 at home. 183 on the road. Lugo pitches on the road, which would most likely, if you're the second wild card spot, you're pitching on the road. Either way, dang good problem to have. Man, I hit my driver, my three wood really well. Huh. What am I going to hit off the tee box? Either way you want to look at it. Quentin, Dusty, later on, I do want to get into J.J. Redick and the contract that he just signed with the Lakers. It seems interesting, but coming up on the other side, who's the most overpaid quarterback in the NFL as contracts for the highest paid quarterbacks for the next upcoming season are in for the record books? You should know who number one is. We'll talk about the others and maybe a few incentives that contracts need. That's Quentin of Dusty. It's After Hours. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio.